Okay, 3, 2.
3, 2, hit it!
It's time to double down with Max and Stacy on Sputnik Radio. Coming up on the show, we talk to Gerald Celente. But first, as the new year opens, let's begin with the words of T.S. Eliot. For last year's words belong to last year's language. And next year's words await another voice. And to make an end is to make a beginning. So for 2018, here's to new beginnings and new words and new voices. Stacy!
Well, certainly, Max. The word of 2017, well, there were a few words. There was Trump, there was Covfefe, and there was Bitcoin. So we had a big year in all of those, and that has come to a close. What do you think of the year gone by and the forecast for 2018 for Bitcoin?
Trump's Covfefe coin. You get all three in one. It could be instantaneously worth $1 trillion. Well, I think Bitcoin was the number two most searched term on Google for 2017. And Covfefe was kind of the dark horse, wasn't it? I think that was a butt dial by Trump at 2 a.m. He somehow tweeted a word salad or some scrambled up clue to Scrabble, and it became a meme, and that meme became a movement, and that movement became a country, and that country is called Covfefeville. No, none of that's true. Well, you know, the trends are always interesting in post hoc analysis to see where people got it right, where people got it wrong. I know I said Bitcoin was going to have a big year in 2017. We talked to a few people about this, and they thought that it was the year that it would start its hockey stick-like mass adoption that you see with technology cycles when things are rolled out, like email, for example. You know, it's kind of a slumbering giant for a while, and then it hits the sweet spot and it becomes ubiquitous. And I guess that's what happened to Bitcoin in 2017. It had its 1996 internet moment.
The new year is also a year, a time to make resolutions. And I'm going to go over the list of the top five financial New Year's resolutions for Americans. And I bring this up because their resolutions don't really go that well with the trends. Number one was save more money each month, 40%. Had a New Year's resolution to do this. 32% said pay off credit card debt. 31% said reduce spending. 27% say sock away more for retirement. And then number five on the top financial New Year's resolutions was build an emergency fund. As you know, the trend is down in terms of savings, up in terms of debt. So it would be the opposite of what they actually are experiencing.
Well, there's two possible explanations here. Number one, Americans are horrible savers. A country that was birthed by the first American, Benjamin Franklin, who famously said, a penny saved is a penny earned. Or there's another explanation. The medium of savings employed by Americans, the U.S. dollar, is absolute garbage that loses purchasing power every minute of every day of every year for the past, well, since the Federal Reserve Bank of 1913. So I opt for the second possibility. People in America don't understand how incredibly inefficient the U.S. dollar is as a savings vehicle. And that brings us back to trend number one, Bitcoin, because it is, in fact, perfect for savings. It's deflationary. The supply halves. The new supply halves every 4 years. Purchasing power skyrockets. You know, 4 or 5 years ago, it took thousands of Bitcoin to buy a Lamborghini. Now it takes 10.
This is the perfect moment to go to our guest, Gerald Celente. He is the publisher of the Trends Journal, and you can find that at trendsresearch.com. Gerald Celente, welcome to 2018.
Felice anno nuovo. Happy New Year.
And what do you see as the biggest trend for 2018 for in terms of finance and economics?
Well, the two big ones is one of our top trends for 2018 is cryptomania cash in. And as much as the people in the central banks and the banksters want to talk it down, whatever they're doing isn't stopping it. And again, Max Keiser was the first that I know of that called the rise in Bitcoin. When it began, I said, why would I want to hold this thing? I'd rather hold physical gold. And then as I started to learn more, I started to change my outlook on it. So this cryptocurrency trend is big in a lot of different ways that we see it. And one of them is when you go to China or many Asian countries, nobody's using cash anymore. They're not using credit cards. They're using apps. So there's no coin of the realm to be held on to. And as Max was talking about the decline of the dollar and how worthless it is. And by the way, the other reason people aren't saving is because it's a war against the savers. When you have negative interest rates, zero interest rate policy, you know, I like you too. I got a 10-year bond, a Japanese bond that I'm going to sell you, and negative rates because I like you so much. So when you pay it, when I pay you back in 10 years, I'm going to give you less than what you loaned me. And that brings us back to the cryptocurrency, because when you look at the action, where's a lot of it coming from? According to reports, what, about 80% of it from Asia? So they know in China they have a debt to GDP ratio of 300. They saw their yuan go down and their Shanghai index go down, and that's what started driving the prices up a couple of years ago. And even though, of course, the Chinese government has put restrictions on Bitcoin exchanges, you're still getting a lot of the mining is coming out of China. Now it's up to 20% of the actions coming out of China. So we see our top trend in the positive element is this is a new direction, a new century, and blockchain technology is making it happen. And as much as they try to stop it, people are going to exchange with their own coin of the realm rather than the fiat currencies by these countries that have turned their paper money into digital dust.
Yeah, Gerald, very interesting there. How a lot of people in the gold community kind of flipped over into the crypto community. I know I was in the gold community, gold and silver, very big. In 2011, I switched over into crypto. We've seen this now with a lot of people in the gold community. Ned Naylor Leyland, for example, huge gold bug in the UK. Just last year, he kind of switched over and started looking at crypto and Bitcoin. What do you think, Gerald? What do you think those in the gold community, what do you think they're missing? Where some of, you know, the penny has dropped, so to speak, the virtual penny, and they now kind of equate the two and see the two in the same light, but some are still holding out. What are they missing, Gerald?
I think some of the ones that are holding out have a profit motive in it, and that usually skews people's objectivity. And again, I still believe in gold. Matter of fact, one of our other trends that we're looking at is we're calling it market meltdown. And the other side of it is mass murder. What we're saying is these equity markets, again, going back to the zero negative interest rate policy, quantitative easing, all things that we never learned in economics 101. And that's why people are going into digital currencies, because they see the valuelessness of the currencies that they're printing up. We believe that the markets are going to really be hit with a shock when their war breaks out. And we see the war drums heating up in Saudi Arabia, in Israel, and the United States against Iran. And it just keeps getting worse all the time. Going back to it, when there is a market panic, this time it won't only be going to gold for your safe haven asset, it'll be going to cryptocurrencies, particularly Bitcoin and the top ones. So that's where we see the shift. We don't see it going just one way. But the other reality is, depending on how high interest rates go in the United States next year, the higher the rates go, the lower gold goes. So we have a bottom of gold by about another $100 to $150. That's the max that we see down. On the upside, we see gold having to break through over 1450, 1480, 1470, and then we believe it'll take a Bitcoin bounce. Now, I've been saying this, by the way, for 4 years, so I haven't changed my forecast because gold has not broken over that level, and we hit the bottom once already because it was selling for what it takes to pull out of the ground. So we think the markets are going to collapse. As you well know, when you're looking at PE ratios, you're seeing them coming out now, the pre-1929 and pre-dot-com era bust. So we think that there's going to be a massive correction in the markets. And when that happens, you're going to see cryptocurrencies really rise, as well as gold.
All right, let's change gears for a second. You know, another trend that happened in 2017 that I think exploded at the same rate as the cryptocurrencies, but didn't get the same attention, and that is artificial intelligence. It just seems that this was, up until even 2 years ago, the stuff of science fiction, and now it has really invaded our day-to-day experience. Now, on top of that, I want you to comment on a trend, and I bring this up not as in a flippant way or to get a cheap, you know, guffaw from the audience. I sincerely believe that this has profound social implications, and this is the rise of the sex bot. This is really changing society in a huge way from what I see. You're the trends guy. What are your thoughts, Gerald?
And one of our top trends is called Follow the Yellow Silk Road. So their new Belt and Road Initiative is a play off of the old Silk Road. The business of China is business. The business of America is war. China's an inside-out operation. The government from the top is running the show, and they're putting a lot of money into artificial intelligence and working closely with the tech companies in China. The United States is an outside-in country where we're influenced by the people that pay off the politicians, the multinationals, the big corporations, the hedge funds, on and on. So you don't have a direction here. You're only fulfilling the riches of the richest. With China, whether you like them or not, whatever it is, now going back to artificial intelligence, they're taking the lead there. You go to China, I was talking about a digital, paperless currency. You're not paying with credit card or cash. You're paying with your face now. There's facial recognition. So people are giving up all of their freedom. Artificial intelligence is running their lives. Whether you get in a car, you don't have to tell it how to drive it anymore. It'll tell you. We're relying totally on technology. People, they're on their handhelds constantly. And so going back to it, yes, people are going to get off more online and in any other ways with artificial intelligence. And there's your sex bots.
Gerald, let's return to the top financial New Year's resolutions for Americans. The top three are all kind of similar. Save more money each month, pay off more credit card debt, reduce spending. Is that going to be possible? Do we have, do you see any decline or not so hyperinflationary sort of rises in healthcare and education? Where do you see this going?
Look at the numbers. You have three people in the United States have more dough than half the nation's population combined. Look at Donald Trump's tax plan. It leaves the people, the grand total in the middle class, what, $900? And it enriches the rich. You look at the studies that come out that say 78% of the people are living paycheck to paycheck. It's Slavelandia. It's neo-feudal society. You have different laws for the economic elite and the political nobility. You saw what happened. Too big to fail? Those words don't exist in capitalism, but you could call it fascism, the merger of state and corporate powers. The United States has become the most unequal, democratic society among the OECD nations. Median household income is below 1999 levels. Again, when I talk about fascism and you hear people complaining, I don't want to pay these people don't want to work, I don't want to pay them welfare. Oh, you don't, huh? But you little jerks, you love to fill these fatties, man, with more tax breaks, loan guarantees. How about corporate welfare, Junior? How do you like a guy like Bezos, one of the three, him, Buffett, and Gates, got more money than half of Americans combined, and you got this guy opening up a Slavelandia camp, we're going to call it a fulfillment center, and we're going to give them $5 billion worth of breaks. Not breaks. They aren't tax breaks, little people with your little minds that don't mind giving away money to the big guys. You're paying for those tax breaks that'll never be paid off. Oh, they'll pay them back in 40 years. Yeah, save it, Junior.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Double Down with me, Max Kaiser, and Stacey Herbert on Sputnik Radio. Thanks to our guest, Gerald Celente of TrendsResearch.com. Until next week, bye y'all.